Water Boys and Fisherman's Blues to start the hour, and Primal Scream, of course, with Moving On Up at 40 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. It's trying to throw a little bit more light on the possibilities for foreign travel in and out of France as the year ends. You didn't find much information. I've got some, but it's not really that clear. The local France says, while France's borders with the EU and Schengen area countries have officially remained open, the second lockdown meant tourism to France has been banned, as has non-essential visits to family members. Those who own second homes in France have not been allowed to travel to the country. Mr. Macron announced last night that France would end its second lockdown on December the 15th, albeit only if the number of daily infections dropped below 5,000 and the pressure was eased on hospitals. So if all goes to plan, the lockdown would end, along with the exemption certificates. That would mean that non-essential travel from within the EU, the UK and Schengen area, would once again be permitted. That means tourist family visits and trips to second homes in France would again be permitted. It depends on the numbers, though, doesn't it?
It depends on the numbers. I'm surprised he didn't actually mention it more, because then you've got the question of, does the quarantine period then still apply?
Exactly. And also, because, you know, Christmas is 4 weeks away, you know, people need to book and make plans, don't they? Travellers are advised to check the conditions and rules of travel from their home country regarding France as well. For example, the UK is still advising against all non-essential travel abroad, which impacts travel insurance policies. And many countries also have rules in place regarding arrivals from France. The UK requires anyone arriving into the country from France to quarantine, but the period of quarantine will be cut to 5 days from 14 after December the 15th if travellers take a test, which they'll have to pay for.
So it's like...
£100.
Right, but you could have the test here 72 hours before you travel.
You have to have a test at the airport in the UK when you get there. £100. Grant Shapps, the Transport Secretary.
At the moment, you don't know.
No, no, but you do. They're bringing it in. Bringing it in.
So even if you had the test done before... Okay.
What about travel from outside the EU Schengen area? Nothing's changed on this front in recent weeks and months. Essentially, the EU are closed to all non-essential travellers, apart from those on an ever-shortening list of safe countries. Anyone travelling into France from outside the EU, UK or Schengen needs an attestation de déplacement international dérogatoire. That's an international version of the domestic one we've got.
Yeah, you've got to be really careful, because Beverly, she had a problem getting to Australia and was told that she could, and then lost nearly her flight. And but she could have gone from Paris to London, but not from Nice to Paris. I would be very careful on international travel.
Residents of France can return to the country from outside the EU, and foreigners currently in France are also allowed to return to their country of residence. At the start of the second lockdown, Jean Castex, the French Prime Minister, made it clear anyone arriving in the country would have to undergo a COVID-19 test. Previously, this was only the case for travellers from certain high-risk countries. Although the Prime Minister said this would be the case for all travellers, at present, testing only seems to have been rolled out at airports and not ferry ports, the Channel Tunnel or road crossings. But it's possible it will be extended to these locations in the weeks to come, if they can be bothered to enforce them. Because when I went into England in June, he just said, I suppose you've got your form, have you? I said, yes. He goes, off you go then. Didn't even look at it. Testing is free at airports in France and uses the antigen test, a nasal swab which gives a result in 15 minutes. But it's not free in the UK.
And it's not valid if you have it here first.
Apparently not. You'd have to double check on that, but apparently not. Grant Shapps said yesterday that everybody coming in would have to have a test at the airport and it would cost £100.
But they don't check you when you go through the airport anyway. Well, they don't. I mean, my son just did it. Either end. There was no checks.
No. Well, this has been half the problem.
He had all the paperwork. He had all the... He'd done both tests. He'd done it before within the 72 hours. And I think when he looked on the company he was flying with, they actually said he didn't need to have proof of a test.
Well, if they had sort of bothered to check, everybody flying in and out of anywhere, you've either got to have a valid COVID-19 test or have one on the spot if you haven't.
Can you imagine the backlog that's going to cause? They're not going to do that.
It would have kept people from travelling across borders and infecting other people when they got there.
Well, I think at the end of the day, the main thing in all of this, whether you can make head or tail of the rules and regulations, is to stay at home as much as possible.
Are you staying at home?
Yes, I am.
Right, OK. With your Christmas tree?
Yeah, and lucky.
8:19.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Good morning, Dawn. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you, Rob. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Now, we've got two for the price of one this morning. We have threatened to introduce Moggy the Month, so we'll come to our first Moggy after we've had Woofer of the Week. What have we got this week for Woofers?
We've got a puppy today. Unusually, we've got a puppy, and his name is Randy. He is a male golden retriever cross, and he's just 7 months old. He will become a medium to large size dog, and they are part of the gun dog group. He needs a family who will commit to continuing his training so he can become a balanced adult dog. And due to his young age, he needs people who are home during the day and who can give him plenty of nice walks. A garden would be great too. He knows some commands already, but he needs to learn some more. He's sociable and he likes hugs. And to see him, you need to visit the Saint Collier Provence shelter. Now, currently, they are only doing appointments and you can't just turn up. You have to book your appointment. So to make one of those, you either need to email them at SCP83. So that stands for Saint Collier Provence, SCP83@orange.fr. Or you can call them on 06 1957 2181 and leave a message.
Did you say he was Randy?
That's his name, yes.
Sounds like he needs a visit to the vets. I don't know about anything else.
Now that should be a gift song-wise for
but
you,
it's
sure.
It's actually Randy Newman, won't it? Surely.
It might have to be.
Unless our first Moggy of the Month comes up trumps.
Absolutely. Well, so for our first one ever, I've chosen a black cat. So let's hope she's a lucky black cat and she finds a new home really quickly. Her current name is Bagheera and she is 3 years old. She's a shy cat and she needs a calm environment to build her confidence. So no very small children for this one, please. She's chipped, vaccinated and sterilised, and you'll find her at the shelter Jean Duflot in Antibes, and they are open from 2 to 4:30 every day. They ask that when you visit, you try and keep your distance and also that you bring your mask.
Okay. Bagheera. It could have been something out of the Jungle Book, but Shere Khan would have been better and we could have played Trust in Me, but we weren't anyway. So thank you, Dawn. Talk to you next week.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Rob.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof Vieira Radio.
Today's quiz, question number one. On this day in 1965, Harrods department store in London closed to the public so that which British group could do their Christmas shopping in private?
Beatles.
Correct. She was born on this day in 1960. The singer had a US number one in 1991 with the single Baby Baby.
Amy Stewart?
Not Amy Stewart. First name is right. Amy.
Amy. No, go on.
Amy Grant. And finally, he was born on this day in 1940. This soul singer had a 1966 UK number four and a US number one. He died on April the 14th, 2015. He married twice. He had 12 children, three of whom became singers. The song was first called Why Did You Leave Me, Baby? And was inspired by the loss of a former girlfriend. It has since been covered several times over the years and used in various forms of media. But it was in 1991 that Michael Bolton covered the song and it went to number one again. What's the song and who's the artist?
Percy Sledge.
Yeah.
When a Man Loves a Woman.
Correct.
Yeah. Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Don't start.
What?
Hey.
You right?
No, yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, see, the markets felt the full force of the incoming Biden administration yesterday, didn't they?
Congratulations, America was the tone yesterday, wasn't it? Markets running
well, according to some
record levels. Well, your Instagram fans. Dow Jones broke through the 30,000 level for the first time. Russell 2000 at record high. Investors increased their exposure to risk assets as President-elect Biden formally embarked upon his transition, and investors cheered the proposed candidate Janet Yellen for Treasury Secretary. Investors focused on stocks that have been beaten down during the course of the pandemic, along with cyclical stocks, particularly likes of financials, energy and travel doing well yesterday. impact on expectations. Additional stimulus will be forthcoming in the United States. The vaccine will allow economies to reopen. Safe havens were broadly weaker. Gold slumped to a four-month low. Dollar was weaker. Bitcoin extended its recent rally. People weren't listening yesterday, surpassing the 19,000 level for the first time since 2017. S&P 500 closed up 1.6%. Opening calls on the European bourses looking positive this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 35 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 46 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 27 points.
No wonder you've got spring in your step.
It's exciting times, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a very interesting comparison between gold and Bitcoin being made in one of the papers yesterday. So it's saying basically both of them are something which somebody has given a value to. And as long as there's people out there who are willing to sort of pay more for it than you paid for it, that's why it will go up.
Well, there's some elements in difference. I mean, gold, there is some inherent uses. It's used in jewellery, which is a fundamental element of demand for it. It's used in technology, as we know. So there are some practical uses for gold that you can't say the same for Bitcoin. But putting that to one side, there's no fundamental reason, I suppose, why gold should be considered a safe haven. But again, if enough people believe it, it does start to generate its own reality. The difference between gold and Bitcoin, and people going crazy around this, is there's a greater transparency. I think you could argue that in terms of the supply and demand dynamic. I don't think the same can be said when it comes to cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, of course, it's also used for sort of fillings for those of you who live in the stockbroker belt, isn't it?
Less and less so, actually. If you look at gold demand from the dentistry industry, it's been on a two-decade decline, actually, so it's used less and less.
Well, you seem to know lots about it. Is that because Mrs. Potts works for the European Medicines Agency?
Easy. I got you excited yesterday, didn't it?
It certainly did.
She wasn't keen on me telling you that.
Really? No, I think it's a feather in her cap. Now, what can you tell us about Janet Yellen, and what will she bring to the US Treasury Department if and when she's appointed, which seems almost certain, doesn't it?
A vast range of experience, there's no doubt about that. She's a known quantity. Equity markets have done well when she was chair of the Federal Reserve. I think the annual rate of return, I think I was reading yesterday, was 12.6%. Coordination, perhaps something we haven't seen for some time, coordination between the central bank and between the Treasury Department, and there was fears that that was starting to develop into a fractious relationship. So bringing that together in a coordinated fashion, and I think someone who's positive in terms of the benefits of fiscal stimulus. So you put all that together and it's quite a nice package for investors.
Yeah, and people will be able to spell her name, unlike Stephen Mnuchin.
This is true.
Okay, a big day for Rishi Sunak today. Finally laid bare the amount of money that's been lost in the economy due to coronavirus.
Yeah, UK government has already injected hundreds of billions of pounds into the economy in efforts to try and reduce the long-term economic scarring. It's resulted, of course, in a record rise in peacetime borrowing. More money likely to flow will be announced today as they try to ease the backlog in terms of the NHS, counter the surge in unemployment and invest in infrastructure. No deal Brexit potentially on the cards. I still think it's unlikely, but potentially it could be the case. So there'll be extra spending on customs operations, which will be needed either way, and possibly a replacement in terms of subsidies for farmers. The real eye will be, of course, on the level of the debt and the deficit. Deficit has surged apparently to 20% of economic output, double the level after the financial crisis. Debt stands somewhere close to $2 trillion mark. That's 100% of GDP. The Chancellor, however, not expected to say this is the time for tax hikes or government spending cuts. No doubt that will come some way down the road, but want to be assured the recovery is in place before they do so.
So I can't believe that I'm reading this. I mean, an official Cabinet Office briefing issued in September has warned the UK faces the risk of systemic economic crisis.
From Brexit or in general?
Well, just the Brexit added to the coronavirus and then seasonal problems like the flu, for example.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt it's a difficult backdrop for the UK economy. You take into account the disruption of the coronavirus, which is perhaps a mild way of putting it. You throw in some Brexit there and uncertainty, and it amounts to low levels of business confidence, concerns and cautious consumers likely to shine through, elevated levels of unemployment. UK economy expected to contract by somewhere around 11% during the course of this year. To put that in some sort of context, that's the worst performance from a UK economy in 300 years. So it gives you some idea about the historic nature of some of the elements that the government has to battle with, some of which you could argue is their own making, of course.
Yes, you could indeed. And Tiffany, good numbers from them on the back of that deal with LVMH. And of course, you've started your Christmas shopping already.
I haven't, it has to be said, and my jewellery buying days are hopefully over. Tiffany beat quarterly profit estimates. I tell you what I did. I bought a very expensive piece of jewellery, which Ellen Anton encouraged me to buy in Cartier in Geneva. Mrs. Potts didn't like it. The good news about all of that was that I never have to buy any more jewellery again.
Well, you should know, surely you should know your wife's tastes by now, you know.
Well, I thought I did, but there we go. Tiffany beat quarterly profit estimates. I don't know why I shared that story with you. Beat quarterly profit estimates. As the US jeweller benefited from a 70% rise in sales in China and recovery in its domestic US market. The results bode well for the important upcoming holiday shopping season. They also underscore the growing importance of sales within mainland China to offset dependence on tourist spending. Tiffany reported sales in Asia Pacific rose 30%. Sales in the Americas region declined 16%, a much smaller than 46% drop in the previous quarter. Like many companies, of course, benefiting from traffic moving online, e-commerce sales surged 92%. Tiffany's is predicting a high single-digit percentage increase in earnings for the current quarter. Tiffany and LVMH ended a bitter battle last month and agreed a new deal that will see the French firm pay slightly lower $15.8 billion to take over the company.
Well, at least you didn't present her with a pair of Tamara Eccleston's earrings.
Yeah. There was a robbery and then they started
wearing
it, basically.
Just a bit of a robbery.
Basically.
25 million quid's worth of swag was removed, and a woman was arrested at Stansted Airport wearing a pair of £3 million diamond earrings that were taken during the heist.
Dear me. Not good.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 133.5. Euro dollar coming in at 119. Going to get €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you in the morning. Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
French President Emmanuel Macron has given a much-awaited televised speech on Tuesday evening defining the current health situation in France and the next three phases in easing lockdown. The President started by saying that data showed that COVID-19 cases were slowly declining, reaching an average of 20,000 new daily cases. Since the start of the pandemic, France has reported more than 2.2 million cases and more than 50,000 confirmed coronavirus-related deaths. While the president thanked the French people for their efforts in respecting restrictions to curb the spread of the coronavirus and the work of carers and hospital staff, he insisted that the coming weeks were of utmost importance, insisting that this year's festive season will be like no other, before adding that we must continue our efforts to avoid a third wave or a third lockdown. The first phase of easing of the current lockdown measures is to come into effect from Saturday, the 28th of November, with shops and services able to reopen, including hairdressers and estate agencies. The attestation will still be required for circulating outdoors. However, the time's extended from 1 hour to 3 hours and the distance from 1 kilometre to 20. School outdoor activities will be able to resume, along with religious services, albeit with a restricted number of people present. Macron emphasised that staying at home as much as possible was still the priority, encouraging employees to continue working from home as much as possible and when possible. The second phase, planned for December the 15th and only applicable on the condition that the number of new cases of COVID-19 is below 5,000 and the number of intensive care patients less than 3,000, will see the end of lockdown and an introduction of a curfew from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m, excluding Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. People will be able to travel from one region to another to spend Christmas with the family in small groups. However, the president, during his speech, did not mention international travel. From December the 15th, cinemas, theatres and museums will be able to reopen under strict health protocols. Concerning ski resorts, the president said that a decision is still to be made, but that it seemed unlikely that the reopening would take place until the beginning of next year, at which point the third and final phase will be introduced on January the 20th. Again, only if the health situation allows. It would see gyms, restaurants and bars reopen. High schools would also be able to fully open with all students, and universities would follow 2 weeks later. The president said that while everything is being done to be able to introduce a large-scale vaccination by the end of December, it will not be made obligatory. French Prime Minister Jean Castex is to hold a press conference tomorrow morning to give more details on Emmanuel Macron's announcements concerning the relaxation of lockdown. In other news, the Marseille Prosecutor's Office has dismissed a complaint about Professor Didier Raoult's clinical trials. In a press release on Tuesday, the Prosecutor's Office announced that two reports made in April of clinical trials carried out by the University Hospital of Marseille on hydroxychloroquine were dismissed. To justify its decision, the prosecution explains that in the context of an epidemic caused by an emerging virus and therefore little known, no drug had at the time yet been authorised to treat COVID-19, authorised drugs could therefore regularly be used outside of being approved as part of the treatment of COVID-19. Consequently, the case has been dismissed. Two elected officials close to the mayor of Nice, Chris Nostrosi, are part of a preliminary investigation for embezzlement of public funds. Following a report from the Regional Chamber of Accounts, a preliminary investigation relating in particular to the hiring of the two elected members of Nice has been opened. Authorities in Antibes are reminding locals that a new warning siren is being tested this Thursday morning. The new siren, installed on the Chemin des Gruelles in La Brague, was set up as part of the first fight against flooding in the area. The test is scheduled for 9 a.m. on Thursday morning. Due to lockdown and faced with the closure of restaurants, the fishermen of Nice are selling their fish from their boats on the port of Nice. There are only five professional fishermen left in Nice, and to survive the lockdown, they're selling their fresh fish from 10 a.m. until noon on the port of Nice at Quai de la Douane. Two physicists from the University of Rennes have made a discovery which allows us to better understand why people are dyslexic and therefore to find new ways to help them. The study has been published in the scientific journal The Royal Society. Dyslexia is a disorder which affects nearly 10% of the world's population, or nearly 70 million people, one of its main consequences being difficulties in reading and writing. Finally, former US Secretary of State John Kerry has been named climate envoy in US President-elect Joe Biden's administration. Kerry had helped broker and sign the landmark Paris Agreement on climate change. Biden has sworn to reverse outgoing President Donald Trump's withdrawal from the deal. Kerry's nomination is a sign the incoming administration in Washington intends to renew US commitment to fighting climate change.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Can you pop down the Quai de Douane for me and get me a couple of Dorade?
It's delicious. I have been doing it on a regular basis. Yeah.
But where's mine?
Well, no. I get it in the morning and eat it by the evening.
You couldn't really
I'm not coming into Monaco with smelly fish in my boots.
Dead fish. I thought you didn't really like fish.
Oh, no, I don't mind Dorade, a bit of Dorade.
Rugby union tributes have been paid to the French rugby legend Christophe Dominici, who's died at the age of 48. He won 67 caps for France and was best known for helping his side knock the favourites New Zealand out of the 1999 World Cup. Dominici also won five French championships with Stade Francais before retiring in 2008. Recently, he'd been a commentator on television and radio. Witnesses say they saw him climb the roof of a disused building in Paris before falling. An inquiry has been opened into his death. The French sports minister said he'd been an artist, and as his sudden death is a shock. Football, good night for Chelsea and Manchester United in the Champions League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello from Colm Harrison at the BBC Sports Centre. Chelsea are through to the last 16 of the European Champions League. They beat Rennes 2-1 in France, with Olivier Giroud getting the winner in stoppage time to secure their place in the knockout stage with two games to spare. And Manchester United are a step closer to the last 16 after beating Istanbul Besiktas. Bruno Fernandes scored twice for them in a 4-1 win at Old Trafford. Liverpool and Manchester City are both in Champions League action on Wednesday and both have the chance to qualify for the last 16 with games to spare. Liverpool will have Mohamed Salah available for their match at home to Atalanta. He tested positive for COVID-19 while on international duty with Egypt recently, but has since returned a negative test, which is obviously good news for the player and also for his manager, Jurgen Klopp.
More trained with the team yesterday, it looked really good. All the tests were negative, so that's now, if nothing changed since yesterday, then he's available, which is good. Yeah, and all the rest, no news.
Like Liverpool, Manchester City have won 3 out of 3 in the group phase so far. They're in Greece to face Olympiacos in the hope of sealing their place in the next round. Their manager Pep Guardiola says English clubs are at a disadvantage because of their schedule.
Every season is disadvantage with the rest of the leagues, this league. Not for that a special year or years, last season and this season for the COVID-19, but that we have to adapt. But even when the situation is normal, we're in disadvantage for no winter break and a lot of games, a lot of competition, the intensity, the weather conditions, the pitches, for many, many things.
For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
They're always complaining, aren't they? You know, at least they can run around for 90 minutes outside.
True.
Short work from Chelsea then. Super Frank.
Well done.
Done the business.
Certainly has.
As they were saying, they're Olympiacos against Manchester City in Group C tonight. Liverpool against Atalanta in Group D. And you can join us in the last 16. Hopefully not in the same half of the draw.
Yeah.
In the English Championship last night, Luton and Birmingham drew 1-1. QPR beat Rotherham 3-2. Norwich were 3-2 winners at Stoke. Wickham and Huddersfield drew 0-0. Barnsley lost 1-0 at home to Brentford. Blackburn were 3-0 winners at Preston. And Bournemouth beat Nottingham Forest 2-0. Norwich top of the table. Morning Allen, 27 points from 13 games. Bournemouth second on 26. And Bristol City in third with 23 points and a game in hand. And in Formula One, Sir Andy Murray has said that Lewis Hamilton deserves a knighthood for what he's achieved as an athlete. Hamilton secured a record-equalling 7th Formula One Drivers' Championship last week, and Murray says it's time he was acknowledged. Reports say the Mercedes star will be awarded a knighthood in the New Year's honours list. Murray, who was knighted in 2017, added that Hamilton was involved in a lot of good causes away from the track, and he thoroughly deserves to be honoured. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraseum in the Var. The general situation, high pressure, 1,025 millibars over the region, and an approaching Atlantic tailwag generating a moderate to strong southeasterly flux from tonight. Now, winds are easterly, force 2, so 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,023 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 3, so 5, northeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are easterly, force 3 to 5, the sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,022 millibars, and the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 4 to 6, southeasterly winds, moderate seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Hazy sunshine today, light to moderate easterly winds, top temperature 16 degrees, overnight lows 8 degrees on the coast, 5 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies, Thursday and Friday partially cloudy, highs of 15 to 17 degrees. Finally.
According to a recent study, St Ives has been named the happiest place to live in Great Britain. The former fishing community in Cornwall topped the leaderboard, with other coastal and rural areas also scoring highly. Those living in St Ives were found to be happier than any other area, with the surrounding nature, green spaces and friendly neighbours. Skipton in North Yorkshire took second place, and Leamington Spa in Warwickshire came third. So as I was going to St Ives, I met a man with 7 wives. Each wife had 7 sacks. Each sack had 7 cats. Each cat had 7 kits. Kits, cats, sacks and wives. How many were going to St Ives?
I don't know, but they're bloody happy about it.
Come on, how many?
I don't know.
You don't know the answer to the riddle?
No.
Guess.
Oh, come on, 7. Yes, but too early for all that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, the traditional understanding of the riddle is that only one is going to St Ives, the narrator, because all the others are coming from St Ives.
Right.
But if you want to do the maths, it's 2,802.
No wonder I didn't want to do it. Are you sure it's St Ives in Cornwall, not St Ives in Cambridgeshire? Yeah. They're quite happy up there, actually. They've got 2 heads, but apart from that...